can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On Air, performance number 677. Today, my name is Lisa Sheps, and I am joined with special guest co-host, Miss Karen Jambone.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm at the adult table at Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lisa, for letting me play.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry. Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Would you mind saying Neiman Marcus?
It is Wednesday, July 13th. 2022. On the show today, we have the Summer Break Theater and their show, The Dating Project. And of course, Karen and I are going to have lovely discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Big D, LLAS. We'll be right back.
Where every home's a palace, because the settlers settled for no less. Hooray for Big D.
My, oh yes. That's Big D, little A-double-L-A-S. Big D, little A-double-L-A-S. That's from the most happy fella. Not the least happy fella.
Or the unhappy woman.
Well, we're going to talk about why I played that in just a second. But first, Karen Jambone, welcome to be co-host at Offstage and On the Air. You've been a guest so many times, you're practically a co-host.
Well, not exactly. I feel like I have big shoes to fill. There have been a lot of really good co-hosts.
There are big shoes to fill, but you are a powerhouse here. Here in Austin as an amazing performer, an incredible director, and an all-around great human being.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I do love theater. And I love being here with you talking theater, because what else is there?
This is true. Let's talk about who's here in our studio audience with us. Maggie Meador. You know, I didn't ask the pronunciation of your last name. Meador?
I know. It's pronounced Meador.
Meador. Maggie Meador.
Yes.
Like that's very alliterative.
With a D.
Beautiful. Welcome.
Thank you.
Max Langert. New to the show.
Hello. Great to be back.
And Anna Becker. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. And David Lampe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good You're afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, what we heard was The Most Happy Fella. And I played that because there's a new version of it that is opening tonight, actually, at the Williamstown Theater Festival. Yeah. And it's a Daniel Fish version.
I don't know anything about that. Tell me.
Daniel Fish, for those that have been around and are listening, and I think that was actually going to be coming here to Austin before the pandemic. He did the what we call Dirty Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The new version of Oklahoma that's out. Who here is a fan of Oklahoma? Really, Karen?
I like Oklahoma.
By the way, I have to tell you that raising the hands doesn't work.
I know.
But
what can I tell? I have school teachers here. I have to raise my hand.
Yeah, not a big fan of Oklahoma.
Eighth grade choir was one of the... We got assigned Oklahoma for the big San Antonio choir presentation, so I had
don't
to
I know
some
it? I read
songs.
About that in the Times.
It was quite something in the early 70s.
I've never seen the show, but I just like singing to the soundtrack.
Yeah, well, as people here heard me say, I'm not a big fan, but I did do, and I probably told this story 100 times, as a judge for the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, I went to a production at one of these resourced high schools that had an all-ringer orchestra, so it was like a 30-piece all professional orchestra, and when that orchestra started playing that Rodgers and Hammerstein,
wow.
I almost broke out into tears. As a matter of fact, I think I did. Well, anyway, Daniel Fish did what we call Dirty Oklahoma, which is an Oklahoma that I really wanted to see. It's a stripped-down version. It had Ali Stroker.
Right.
And it got incredible reviews, and people were saying those people that don't like Oklahoma will like this. Well, he did a similar treatment, evidently, of The Most Happy Fellow, which is a show I've never seen.
Neither have I.
Anybody else?
That was at the Armory, right? The Oklahoma you're talking about? in New York?
No, wasn't at the Armory. I don't think so. It's a small. Okay. I think it's too small for the Armory.
But it was still Ali Stoker, the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Played Ado Annie. Okay.
Ado Annie. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Anyway, so this one is open now on July 13th and playing through the end of the month. It's got Mary Testa in it, Tina Fabrique, Maya Langerstam. Oh my God, I cannot talk. Amongst others in the show, and this is a Frank Lesser. I don't know if it's Lesser and Lowe. Is it Lesser and Lowe?
Lesser, yeah.
Frank Lesser score. And I believe we've gender swapped the lead character.
Ooh.
But it's, I think it's about, I don't know a whole bunch about it, but it's about a mail order bride situation.
Right.
Okay, well, that's it.
Like, is it based on the rose tattoo?
Actually, what did it say? It's based on They Knew What They Wanted.
They Knew What They Wanted.
Sidney
okay.
Howard
okay.
from 1924, mm-hmm. which I was pretty young back then. 1924.
Girl, I'm older than dirt. Don't worry.
Me too. I'm older than dirt's mother. So the other thing that happened, we have a couple of openings. The big, what's the word I'm trying to come up with? Can't remember.
Premiere.
Opening?
No, it's the
premiere.
Big special.
Debut.
No, we're never going to come up with it.
So
stop trying.
Was
Into the Woods. So this is this is the Into the Woods that moved from Encores.
Yes.
To Broadway at the St. James Theater.
Gotten great reviews.
100% on the Did They Like It site. Out of the 15 reviews they had, 15 of them were positive. And this is the one that had who wrote Waitress?
Oh, Sarah Bareilles.
Sarah Bareilles mm-hmm. is in it as the baker's wife. And Neil Patrick Harris was the baker. And in this version now, it is Brian Darcy James.
Mm-hmm.
Who I should say, from whoever I was speaking to a few weeks ago, I believe it was Nicole, Brian Darcy James did play Shrek in Shrek the Musical.
Yes. And did you see what the Washington Post said about Milky White?
About the puppet?
About the puppet.
What about
that? If there was a Tony Award for dairy and non-dairy, Milky White would be a moo-in for the non-dairy.
That's great.
The dairy. Mm-hmm.
So this is directed by Lear de Bassinet, who is the artistic director of Encores. It is choreographed by, oh my God, I just had it right here. Now it's going, Lynn Latoero. But there's not a lot of choreography. Mm-mm. This is a stark version of it and with a very little set, and it's a very minimalistic. Yep. Philippa Sue is in it.
She's Cinderella.
She is mm-hmm. Cinderella.
I love Philippa Sue.
Pardon me?
I love
Philippa
yes,
Sue. What's not to like?
Yep.
Patina Miller
plays the witch.
Is playing the witch.
Yes.
She took it from Heather Headley.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take it. She replaced. But they are saying that this this production and this new cast is just amazing.
Yep.
All the way down the line.
Not a bad word about it at all.
And who wrote this? I believe it's Alexis Salisky for the New York Times said, I have rarely seen a show in which the cast had this much fun. And now they talk about the difference between the baker and the baker's wife in terms of Neil Patrick Harris versus, I just said his name and I just lost it. What's his name?
Brian Darcy James. Brian Darcy James.
I do not like getting older. Anyway, she said, while she and Neil Patrick Harris had a wild, nervy chemistry at Encores, she is now partnered by the mellower Brian Darcy James. Together, they find some rhythms of the role of a married couple just only beginning to know each other. And I just love the idea of that these have just come on the heels of the other and mm-hmm. and they've just found different nuances, and I love that about the creative process. Who here is a huge Into the Woods fan?
I am.
Okay, Karen?
I love it. I love it for the spectacle. We got a chance to do that musical three years ago at my school.
Yeah.
It was a really wonderful experience.
That's quite an undertaking for high school.
Well, and let alone a middle school.
As a middle school.
Wow. Exactly.
Oy vey's mir, as my people say.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I like it. I'm not in love with it, but
right.
I need to read this little piece because one of these sort of says a lot of what. Basically, it says, you know, whether it's a happy endings are based on where you end the story.
Right.
And there are so many people, I know so many people that think that Act Two of Into the Woods shouldn't happen. And I'm kind of the opposite.
It takes you in a whole different direction.
It takes you in a whole different direction.
Yeah. We saw it in New York when it first happened all those years ago.
Oh.
Bernadette Peters. I mean, it was fabulous.
I was living in New York at the time. Did not see it.
Yep. That big old boot coming over the top of this theater. That was beautiful.
So Deadline's Greg Evans says, to say it delivers on its promise is an understatement. A cast as fine as any on Broadway this year. Musical direction and orchestrations that bathe some of Sondheim's most breathtaking pieces of music in arrangements and execution. Did they like it? Ran G said, whether you're a diehard Sondheim fan or a first-time visitor of the woods, you'll get reeled in by its initial apparent whimsy, its deceptive simplicity, only for it to tap into the hinterlands of your own pathos, and so the woods of constant self-examination, you come out the other side a little changed and a little less alone.
That's a beautifully written review.
That's good. Yeah. And Christopher Bananos, a vulture, said, there is no weak link in this cast all night. That's pretty amazing.
That's great.
Into the Woods.
I want to see it.
You have time. Just, I think, another month.
Yeah, it's a limited run.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other opening we had is Richard III in the park. And this is, you know what I said, the Into the Woods.
Not the same reviews.
not terrible.
Not terrible, but not the same.
But not super great. Mm-hmm. And this is a Richard III that is, there's some interesting things about it, and I'm trying to find my my notes on it, but it is indeed a gender swapped, although she's a female actor, but I believe she's still playing Richard III as a male.
Yep.
Do you remember the...
Danai Gurira?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's in it, and it opened last Sunday. It's going to actually... It's closing, I think, at the end of the week. They had to postpone because of COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. People who like Shakespeare here?
Yes. Okay.
Hands are all raised, except mine is not.
Neither is mine.
I made the painful decision to be open. I came out of the closet of being not a Shakespeare
lover. Mine was
lover.
Only half.
Yeah. although Richard III, it's very interesting. It's part of a whole linear of his historical plays. Mm-hmm. And it comes after Henry VI, Part 3. Yep. And interestingly, so it normally starts with Now is the Winter of Our Discontent speech by Richard III. And they opted to instead start it with the last scene of Henry VI, Part 3.
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I approve of that.
What was the reasoning behind it?
Historical context.
Okay. Yeah, to kind of give it something to for that opening so you knew where it came from.
And what's interesting is that, again, Ally Stroker's in this one as well. She's everywhere, this Ally Stroker. And so normally, you know, Shakespeare talks about, he's played as a hunchback most of the times. Mm-hmm. If you remember, they just dug up his body
under a parking lot,
and really he wasn't all that deformed. They mild scoliosis is what they called it.
What? Shakespeare exaggerated?
No.
Can you believe it? He was political.
So disappointing.
Making statements. So she is played, or he is played by the actor as not physically deformed, which leads to a whole bunch of interesting things about, you know, what is deformity?
Did you read what she said about that?
I did. Why don't you share?
She said in an interview on NPR that Richard's otherness is his blackness in the world, because she is a black actress,
mm-hmm.
while others in the cast do have visible differences, such as Ally Stroker. And a woman, and the queen who speaks in sign.
ASL, right?
ASL.
And then one of the other actors has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting casting. The critic in The Times who wrote it, Jesse Green, who I do not always agree with, did not think it was a good choice to not make Richard III physically disabled.
Right.
He said, when other characters, and even the man himself scorn his disabilities and mock his ugliness, we are forced by the evidence of our senses to treat the derision metaphorically. Yeah. Richard, we tell ourselves, is morally toad-like, not physically so. And though I usually enjoy being asked to see familiar characters in unfamiliar skins, in this case, the sidestep blocks access to the deepest elements of the drama.
Right. Well, one of my favorite lines was that in the review was, it's tonally wobbly and workmanlike revival. I'm like, ooh.
And there it is. But it's still something I would like to see. And those of us have lived in New York. Did you ever live in New York,
Karen? Oh, gosh, for years.
For years. So going down to the Delcourt was just such, it was such a wonderful experience. And spending the day there picnicking in line. And
waiting to get a ticket to get a ticket.
Yep, waiting to get a ticket. Well, actually, I think when I was there, I don't even think there were tickets. You just stayed in line and you walked in. Mm-hmm. But it was great. It was such a wonderful experience.
It really was. Yeah.
I loved doing it. Yeah. Maggie, you've lived in New York more recently than Karen and I.
Yeah, I did a little bit more recently. I only lasted 7 years, but I just
felt that's like enough time to go see a show.
Some of the most exciting times of my life.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was funny because one of my many, many things I took on was being a volunteer to watch for line jumpers down at the public.
Really?
Theater.
Interesting.
Yeah. That wasn't
we
me
actually
you
had
saw.
To wear
mm-hmm.
You mean at the public or at the Delcourt?
That and line at the public theater to get the free tickets to the Delaware.
Oh, I did not. Oh, they did. Yeah, that, so they didn't do that in my day.
They changed. They've changed.
It's like a rite of passage. You know, you have to wake up and take whatever train down at 4 o'clock in the morning. And
that would be the number one train.
It's pretty fun.
Usually, or the RR.
And so, what did you do as a watcher? I mean, were you surreptitious?
Subtly walked up and down the sidewalk and pretended not to stare and.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it was almost like a precursor to, like, I think I might end up being a teacher someday if I'm already doing pre-lunch duty on the sidewalk or something, right?
And but what did you do when you caught somebody?
We had to kick them out of the line.
Oh, yeah. Touche.
Yeah, we taken quite seriously the competition to get your two free tickets each
Absolutely.
To the shows.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's now switch gears and talk about the controversy of Beanie Feldstein and Lea Michele.
Oh.
Beanie Feldstein, as everybody knows, is playing
Fanny Bryce
in
Funny Girl.
Funny Girl, thank you.
You know,
I need people
you
to finish
that.
My sentences for me. So she did not get great reviews.
No, she did not.
And some of the, you know, when I listened to an interview today talking about how poorly she was treated. And there's a difference, and we've talked about this on the show before, about getting a bad review based on the critic's opinion of the thing is another thing about being personally mean. Like John, I used to talk about this, and I'm not proud of this, but John Simon, who used to write for the New York Magazine. I used to just love reading his things because he was so evil and horrid. But I'm ashamed of myself now because what he was doing was just making fun of people's personal attributes.
He was pernicious. Yeah.
He was terrible.
Sarah Miles threw out a plate of spaghetti on him in a restaurant. Yes, because of some review he gave her. So I'm in a restaurant and threw a plate of spaghetti. I'm like, girl, you go.
Well, he was famous for tearing Liza Minnelli apart for the act. But anyway, it's the same kind of deal. And so Beanie took hits for not being thin. You know, she took hits for not being a great singer, which I think that part
is legit.
Probably valid. Yeah. But it got personal and mean throughout the whole thing. And she was bullied for the whole time she was on. Yeah. She also had to deal with a lot of sickness. She was out of the show an awful lot. So we don't really know what caused it, but she left the show. She just announced that she's leaving the show.
Like in 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Like 2 months earlier than she was supposed to. She actually did it on Twitter before the producers announced it, and then they say they were blindsided. They don't know what it is. She said on Twitter, playing Fanny Bryce on Broadway has been a lifelong dream of mine, and doing so for the last few months has been a great joy and true honor. Once the production decided to take the show in a different direction, I made the extremely difficult decision to step away sooner than anticipated. Nowhere do they say what that different direction is, or whether indeed she was the one that made the decision or the decision was made for her, regardless. And so it's just been interesting. And it was thought of and now confirmed that she would be replaced with Lea Michele, who I actually learned, I didn't know a lot of the stuff that I just learned in this, because Lea Michele, there are a whole bunch of issues around her. And she's, I did not know this, during Glee and Spring Awakening, she just had a reputation of being horrible to work with.
Not nice, yeah.
And she just recently had to do an apology because, and I forgot the woman's name in the Glee company, the black woman.
Amber. No, not Amber.
It may not have been her.
Amber Riley, that's...
Yeah, I don't think that was who it was. Samantha Marie Ware.
Okay.
Said that she had done some microaggressive things towards her, in which case Lea Michele apologized. But I never knew any of this about Lea Michele. So then there's that people aren't happy that she's doing it. She's made no secret about I've always wanted to play that role.
Oh my gosh,
all the way through Glee.
Yeah. Well, it was obvious she was hungering after that role.
And this is another place where I'm not sure where I sit on. She is taking some criticism about accepting the role and her not being Jewish. It's an interesting. Fanny Bryce is an interesting character because that character is indeed hinged in many ways on her Judaism, and yet not at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is going to be an example of what we're now calling Jew face or not. Mm. But that's another thing where she's taking heat. Furthermore, what's her name? She played the coach.
Oh, Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch, yeah. Who is playing
Mama,
yeah. Was scheduled to be on for another month or so, but she has now decided to leave early at the same time, being replaced by Tova Feltsche, which is all amazing. But I just...
Because Jane Lynch is certainly not Jewish, but Tova Feltsche certainly is.
That's true.
So there you go.
I'm of very mixed minds about Jewish people and in representation.
Wasn't the entire production going to be hinged upon... I read that it was because they wanted to make it more Fanny Bryce more Jewish?
Well, I don't know that she could be more Jewish.
Why would they get rid of Beanie Feldstein?
Reviews.
The reviews are not good.
Well, right? I don't know we don't know that that's the reason.
Yeah.
But I mean, certainly
it's interesting to speculate though about that.
Because I read about it months and months ago when it was first coming out, and they were saying that they're all excited because they were going to be really stressing her Jewishness.
Right. Ah, you know more than me about it for
that's
sure.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but I have no doubt.
But does a Jewish character have to be played? Well, by a Jewish person, as an actress.
Well, there is. So here's my feeling on it in terms of representation. If that, for instance, for so often LGBT people were not allowed to play LGBT roles.
Right.
You have examples of Jewish people not being, especially in the movies, not being able to play Jewish roles because they weren't marquee, or they were, as Sarah Silverman says, too Jewish. Mm-hmm. So in cases, yes, I think you're right. But I think I want to say this very carefully without putting my foot in my mouth. Jewish people are pretty well represented in show business. But I think there are times when that is important and appropriate and times when it is not. Right. You know, there's been Fiddler on the Roof, ostensibly. I mean, that's like the first musical that was really about very serious Judaic issues has constantly been played by non-Jews.
Well, look at Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Right.
Half the cast, she's not Jewish.
Yep.
No, she isn't.
Right? Neither is the guy who played Tony Shalhoub.
Right.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. How many Jewish performers are there? How many Jewish performers are there?
Well, lots.
Right? A lot.
A whole bunch.
Here's one right here.
I'm one of them.
We know the
but
answer.
But do I want to constantly be pigeonholed? Am I always going to be cat? You know, I have, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. But but there would be time. There have been.
Goyish upon them, if you will. Exactly. So I don't have to necessarily play, but.
There have been documented times where Jewish people have been disenfranchised with regards to casting.
Sure.
So therefore, I think special treatment should be at times given. But in this case, I'm with you in this case.
We need a panel discussion on this.
It's a sticky wicket, where I grew up.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I love Sarah Silverman. I love what she wrote about it. But at the same time, I was like you. I was conflicted, you know? Make waves? Do we not make waves? Are we going to be reviled anyway? Yes, of course, right? I don't know.
I think we do need to make waves, but I think there's some give and take. And I mean, we all remember what happened when Miss Saigon came over at Jonathan Pryce, and the Michigas that brought up. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to talk about. I think it's important for us to continue to talk about it with an open mind.
Right, absolutely.
Whereas we're not seeing, you know, yellow face or brown face or black face anymore, hopefully. Although I have heard rumors of some some recent brown face here in our theater community. It's a rumor. I don't know that it's true.
Oh, I hope it's not.
Now you got us all curious.
I know.
They're on the edge of their seats.
You'll have to stay. curious. I'm just going to very briefly acknowledge that we lost James Caan, who does not have a huge theater presence. He's well known in movies, but he did play on Broadway in 1961 in a show called Blood, Sweat, and Stanley Pool. He was an understudy to a whole bunch of different characters.
Speaking of Jewish performers.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Absolutely.
There's totally not Italian.
Yep. Right. Not Italian.
Not Italian. And then somebody's just going to have to explain to me why The Godfather is a great movie, but that's for another show.
What?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't get it. Okay. And then the other thing, that the other person that passed away is Larry Storch, who, if those of you of a certain age, and some of us here are of a certain age,
we have our hands raised. A couple of us.
Is best known for F Troop, but he had a long history on Broadway. He died at 99. But here's something interesting. If you read his autobiography, his obituary, the opposite of an autobiography.
Yes.
He had a very interesting past. Let me see if I can. He had a brother. His parents. Okay, I'm going to try to remember because I can't find it, so forgive me if I'm wrong. He had I think his mother had a child prior to marrying her father with a black man. The child was born pretty dark and could not pass as a white person. So they had the child raised with a black family. I know.
Did
Karen
not know
is shaking
that.
Her head.
Did not know that.
And then they reconnected much later.
Wow.
And then also, if I'm remembering correctly, I think there was another adoption situation that was sent away, and they met up again later. But very interesting. You can find that information in the obituary.
Well, I was looking at his IMDb, and I was like, "Holy smoke! This guy goes back to the 50s, and he was the voice of Coco the Clown, like in one thing after the other." And I thought, "Well, okay, he's." And I saw pictures of him when he was a really good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Not just that grizzled old thing on F Troop.
And he was in 2002,
yes.
He was in the musical version of Some Like It Hot, which is coming back again, a different version. And this Some Like It Hot was based on Sugar with different, with some different musical numbers added. But in 2002, Tony Curtis was also in that, and he played the old guy that falls in love with
at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
What was the character's name in the movie? The Ray.
It's probably right here. Hold on. Osgood Fielding.
Yes, yeah, but the actor was
Joey.
Joey Lewis. Yeah.
Was it Lewis or
Joey
something? Yeah, I don't know if it was Lewis, but I don't know. We'll find it. We'll figure it out.
He was the lion in Wizard of Oz, wasn't he?
That was Bert Lahr.
We're gonna figure this out. That was but Bert we're Lahr. Not gonna figure it out right now on the air. We are running out of time, so I'm just gonna skip to my last piece, which is world premiere of a show called American Prophet.
Ooh.
Frederick Douglass in his own words. It's a musical about Frederick Douglass. It is going to be done. Oh my God, where to go?
At the arena.
At the arena in D.C.
Washington. Yeah.
Yep. And it is written by Charles Randolph Wright, who wrote Trouble in Mind, and Marcus, I know I'm going to mispronounce this. It looks like Human, H-U-M-M-O-N, but I, sidebar, I'm addicted to, TikTok, and whenever they give words and thought bubbles to dogs, humans are called humans. Same thing. Sorry. Anyway.
I just wasn't expecting that statement to go.
Sorry, and it stars Cornelius Smith Jr., who was on Scandal, and Krystalyn Lloyd, who was in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
And it looks very interesting.
And this thing's been in progress since 2015. It was commissioned in Tennessee, of all places, and it's kind of worked its way to the arena, where now it's...
And so hopefully it will find its way. There also, one of the production credits is from a consultant named Kenneth B. Morris Jr., who is the great-great-great-grandson of Frederick and Anna Douglass.
That's pretty neat.
Oh, pretty and cool. P.S., the great-great-grandson of Booker T. Washington.
Wow. Well, that's a legacy.
That is a legacy. Yeah. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to hear a little bit of that music, a song called, if I can pick this up, Let the Storm Come from American Prophet, Frederick Douglass in his own words. We will be right back.
Truth is I was born to lie.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Shipps and my guest co-host,
Karen Jambon.
Yay.
Thank you.
We've been having lovely discussions earlier with Maggie Medor, Max Langert, Anna Becker, and David Lampe. And now we're going to reintroduce those four people that I just
Hooray,
said
yes.
for the real
About
reason
time.
Why they're here.
Hooray.
So reintroduction, Maggie Medor, welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Hello. Thank you.
You were the founder, one of the founders of Summer Break Theater, and is also playing in this production. We have the playwright of The Dating Project, Max Langert. Hi, Max.
Hey, how's it going?
Any better and I'd be twins.
Oh, say that one more time, sorry.
I said any better and I'd be twins.
Oh, that's good. It's funny. Take me a second.
We have Anna Becker, who's also a member of the company and plays Lori.
Hello there.
And David Lampe, who plays the boss and more, and also a founding member of this company.
Yeah, not founding. I came
thought
in
you were
a little
founding.
Bit later.
Then never mind. Thanks for being on the show.
Member of the
we
company.
We kidnapped him later.
He's a foundling, not a founder.
I came at the same time as Lampe, though, didn't I?
No, you were in the first production.
I was in the first. No.
Yeah. Let's not fight and bicker over this.
Really optics.
Good job, Lampe.
So you guys are doing The Dating Project. Max, can you tell me about this play? What is it?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Thanks for being on the show.
Obviously, I'm here for it. I'm calling it a project management rom-com. So it's basically about someone who's trying to navigate the online dating world in their 40s, is also a project manager in real life.
Okay.
And combines the two in a hilarious fashion. That's the goal.
Well, awesome. And hilarity ensues.
Always, yes.
Now, Maggie, are you also directing it?
No, I'm not directing it. Okay. That's Yakov Abrams.
Oh, that's right. I think I read that.
He's not here.
Great name.
That's a great
regardless
name.
Regardless of how good they are as a director, they get my vote for best name. So tell us about each. So, Maggie, you are playing a role.
Yes, I play the lead just simply because it was a project that he started a few years ago with me in mind, I suppose. And I'm just really grateful that we got a chance to finally see it realized. And so I'm really excited about it.
So, okay, it sounds like you buried the lead a little bit, Max. You wrote this with Maggie and Mike.
Right. It was sort of, I'll call it a commission, I guess. Maggie actually approached me and said, would you be interested in writing something about, dating in your 40s or whatever? And I thought it was an interesting idea, so I picked it up there and did write it. I tried to write it in her voice or something similar with her in mind.
So let me get something straight. When you say dating in your 40s, are you saying that 40 is old?
Why would you jump to that conclusion? Of course not.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm just saying it's different than dating when you're 15, say. You know, it's a little bit, it's a different set of circumstances.
Well, that's great. And I do love the graphic. It shows, I guess it's you, Maggie. Looks like you as I'm looking at it here, but just like almost like Kilroy was here with just half the face, which looks great. Like I'm scared to get out.
Deer in headlights, yeah.
Well, great. So, Anna, tell us about your role in the poem.
I play her friend Lori, who is promiscuous, her slutty best friend, basically. So it's really
fun.
Which
was my sorority name in college.
You too? And I'm sort of pushing her to get moving on this thing. I'm giving her the kick in the pants that I think she needs. Going through the...
You're the best friend / sidekick.
Uh-huh. Correct. I'm the second banana, if you will.
You're the wingman. David, you play a myriad of characters.
Yes, myself and Brandon. What's Brandon's last name?
Hobstrack. It's Hobstrack.
Yes, we
leave
play
it to a teacher to add the spelling. Yes.
We play all of the male parts between us because these two ladies... Maggie, I think, is on stage the entire time. Because it's definitely from her point of view, but then Lori, but then we are just pretty intermittent characters. I play the boss and a couple of potential romantic connections.
Cool. So obviously this is a comedy, and Max, this is the premiere of this piece, right? So I'm assuming that you're like still working on it.
Yeah. I've added a bunch of new words here and there and was told to stop a couple of years ago. So,
I don't blame you at all. Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. It's been fun to tweak and I get that opportunity to improve it as we go. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, let's take this time to, you know, you're going to do a little piece from it right now.
Correct? Yeah, that'd be great.
Can somebody set this scene up for us?
Yeah, I will. I'll be happy to.
That's perfect.
What we've got here is with the character of Tara is... just going on for her very first few instances of online dating, checking out sites, checking out men on a site. But the men aren't just on the site. We have them actually on stage and on projection. So they're looking at various men. They've checked out a few, and they've come on one that looks potentially good.
Wonderful. And so this is Maggie Metter, Anna Becker, and David Lampe doing a scene for Max Langert's show, The Dating Project.
All right, here's Daniel _T.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Do you think that's his real name?
You have no way of knowing until you meet him, and even then...
Yes, Daniel _T is my real name, in case you were wondering.
I was.
You know, I believe in transparency and openness. I'm not in this for the short term. I'm a long-term guy. As a matter of fact, Commitment is my middle name.
Seriously?
Not really.
Oh, good. Because, you know, that would be weird.
How weird would that be?
So weird.
Pretty weird,
pretty
right?
Pretty weird.
He's funny. You have banter.
I know.
You know, I love that we have banter. Chemistry is so important to me.
What, are you a chemist?
I'm a chemist, actually.
No way.
You know, I like what I know about you so far.
What does he know about me so far?
Just what's on your profile.
I love your... philosophy on openness in dating.
What? He used philosophy in quotes. Why did he do that?
Yeah, I just realized I might know this guy.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, we spent the night together once, I think.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Yesterday.
Oh my God, Lori.
I think he's still at my place, actually. Hang on.
Beep, 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 beep.
Curtis?
Yeah.
What? I thought you said his name was Daniel T.
This is Penelope.
What the hell is happening? Who are you?
Never trust anyone for the first 3 months. Are you still in my bed?
Well, I'm bed adjacent.
Do you not have a job or...
I do have a job. I'm a chemist. Remember I told you I just have flexible hours.
And are you online right now?
What do you mean by online?
Are you on a dating app?
I resent that implication.
My friend is chatting with you.
Oh, which one is she?
How many people are you talking to right now?
I'm all yours, baby.
How long are you going to stay there at my place?
What time do you come home?
I don't know, around 7.
I'll be gone by 6:45.
Oh my god, men are like dogs.
Oh, aren't they though?
Yeah, Max, how can you write such terrible men?
Personal experience.
I thought that guy was great.
Well, sounds like a lot of fun. Tell me about how the production has been going so far. You're opening soon, correct?
Yes.
Sunday.
Yes, we open on Sunday.
You open on Sunday. 17th. So how are rehearsals going? Can you regale us with any wonderful anecdotes of rehearsal?
I think they've been I'm a blast. I'm having so much fun. What about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rehearsals are definitely interesting. The rehearsal space is interesting. I'll just say that.
Where are you rehearsing?
They're rehearsing in my living room. Oh, okay. And until recently, my 9 and 11-year-old were wandering around. I'm like, oh, great.
Lovely.
How many questions will I have to answer now?
Inquisitive minds
about
want
inappropriate
to know.
For children mm-hmm. subject matter.
Yeah, well, we haven't been able to get the Hyde Park until... Well, won't have the Hyde Park until the day of opening, as a matter of fact.
So oh, amazing.
We've been trying to squeeze everything into her dining room.
Are you going to perform on a bridge?
We hope not.
That's the question. The big bridge. Mm-hmm. It's a great set.
Great. And I want to talk about your organization coming up soon, but let's just talk specifically about this show. You are all teachers.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes. Thus the name Summer Break Theater. So this is what you... So you spend all year working your little tails off, and then you come and you decide you want to do a show, because that's easy.
Sure. That was...
We figured, why have a summer break? We'll just turn summer break into right. not having a summer break. I mean, it just makes sense,
How many years have you been in existence?
Only four. So okay. We're still... pretty new, very new, I would say. But and that's why I'm so proud and honored that we keep doing this, because, you know, my goal and my dreams are big. You know, we want to continue to grow and really be there for teachers and try to give them a space to go have a creative outlet and advocate for them and just sort of give them the attention that I think they deserve.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love it. And are any of you theater teachers or just?
I am a theater teacher, yes. Middle school.
Mm-hmm. Middle school.
Most of the
put me on your prayer list.
Most of the people are theater teachers. I'm an English teacher.
All right.
And same
I'm
thing.
A debate coach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that. Let's argue about that.
You know, debate is not arguing. I have to make that point to the freshmen every single year. It's arguing with research.
Did you see what the Constitution means to me?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. You must.
I should.
We'll talk about that offline. Okay. You must. Yeah. It's an amazing piece. It's available online. It's Heidi Schreck. It's just incredible. It's about debate. Or it includes
actual
high school debate students. Well, this is amazing. Let's talk about when the show opens. We've ascertained it opens this Sunday, the 20th. The 17th. And when does it close? How long do you go?
July 26th. So it's 3 nights, July 17th, 18th, 19th, and then 3 nights again, July 24th, 25th, and 26th.
And I should say it's at 7:30. And which theater are you performing at?
Hyde Park Theater.
Okay. And where can folks go to get more information about this show and to get tickets?
Folks may go to summerbreaktheater.com if they wish. And awesome. That's our website.
Beautiful. Well, let's talk more about Summer Break Theater. We'll give folks the opportunity to get the website again soon. But I just love the idea. I think I ran into Maggie at Hyde Park Theater a few weeks ago. And I had just read about this organization, which I did not know about until just recently. And I thought, that is amazing. And that's an incredible thing to do. That these are teachers who have been working, especially currently, so hard and diligently to take the time out of their summer. And does this benefit teachers as well?
Yes, we have short-term and long-term goals that we're working on, but the big one is that we've started a fund, which is essentially just a checking account, right? And our goal is to continue to add to it, because one day I'd like for us to be able to give out small stipends to teachers And just how great would that be? There's not that many resources that do that.
That's great.
Well, we have
would like to eventually be one. And we, yeah, we already have. You know, like this is our third summer that we've given out gift cards to teachers that they could just turn around and use for whatever reasons they need.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful. Great job. So this is this your brainchild, Maggie? Were you the one that like that popped up into your mind first?
Yeah. No. Thanks. Yes. It is mostly mine, but definitely not only mine.
Right.
John DeMitchell, who is the lead theater teacher and director at Eastview High School, and Stacey Meischitz-Legger, who is a theater teacher at Ridgeview Middle School. They were the two that sort of joined me in 2018, and we were sitting around just thinking about, there's not really a theater company that exists that's teacher-centered, and we should start one. Yeah. And then that was it.
And then you did it. And you did, in 2019, you had your first production. Also at Hyde Park Theater.
Right. And that was our first production ever. And it was a cul-de-sac by John Cariani, who is the same playwright who wrote Almost Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And so we had it for three nights because we wanted to start small at Hyde Park. And I think we also wanted the opportunity for Ken Webster to kind of give us a chance to be there and see how we did.
Right.
But we sold out, and it was really great. And then it was interesting because we start this cause right when COVID then hit. So then we did an online show the next summer.
We just made like a movie.
Lot of other people. We made a movie. Yeah. But it was funny because it was an online play about teachers teaching online.
Yes.
It was
well,
very
good.
Meta.
I love it.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
So.
Well, meta is good. Well, I'm thrilled to have y'all on. I hope I get you
Thank
on
you.
Again. And I hope that this continues on year after year, and you'll get actually maybe next year you'll do the play that Max Lengert is writing about me.
Sounds awesome.
That's what I'm hoping. Thanks again for being on the show and coming
Thank
on
you.
Offstage.
Thanks
on
for
air.
Having us.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. That was Maggie Metter, Max Lengert, Anna Becker, and David Lampe of Summer Break Theater's The Dating Project, opening July 17th and playing through the 26th. For more information, you may visit Dating Again. That's the name of the song that's going to happen. You may visit summerbreaktheater.com. We'll be right back.
Dating Again.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps and guest co-host Karen Jambone. My gosh, what a great group of people that was.
That was great. I have to confess, I had not heard of the group, so I am very thrilled to know about them.
Me too. And I'm glad they were here to refresh our audience. We were talking to Maggie Metter, Max Lengert, Anna Becker, and David Lampe. Summer Break Theater. Yeah, I had read about it. And then I said, oh, this is amazing. And like the next day I ran into her at Hyde Park Theater.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I need to get you on the air. And she said, I think so.
There are no coincidences.
There are no coincidences.
None.
Going on locally, speaking of local, I should just say that we should give you a hearty clap and congratulations on Heartbreak House.
Oh, thank you.
Very successful run of that.
We had a lovely run. We were thrilled to great audiences. And can I give a shout out to Will Gibson Douglas, who did a fantastic job of directing Shaw, who it's not easy to direct.
No. And that was his first time. My first thing, I'm going to do a Shaw piece, an obscure, relatively obscure Shaw piece.
And the thing is that I also, my first piece was a Shaw. It was Major Barbara back at a little theater in New York all those many years ago.
And when I get cold, I wear a Shaw.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. I will be here all week. But speaking of Hyde Park Theater, they're doing a fundraiser, which I think is interesting, on the 22nd through the 29th. I thought there were only three performances, but I know it opens on the 22nd of this month. It's called I Love HTP, otherwise known as Hyde Park Theater. Yeah. Oddly enough, it's a solo show with Ken Webster.
Yes.
But it is evidently it tells the story of Hyde Park Theater and Ken Webster.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. I think I'm going to go see it.
I'll have to look at my calendar because there's a lot going on right now.
Yes,
it sounds very interesting, and he has certainly made a success of that place.
Yeah. And I will say this, that arts organizations and theaters in general are finding it very tough right now. As we all know, the expenses are going up, costs are going up. Audiences still haven't come back to the theater. So this is if
and
there
spaces
were,
are going down.
And spaces are going down. So if this was a time to support an arts organization, now would be the time
Absolutely.
To do it. So I will be there in support of Hyde Park Theater. I'd be there anyway because I think it's kind of interesting. I don't
because
know.
We're theater addicts.
Exactly.
We need to go to everything.
Exactly. And then on the 22nd and 23rd, same weekend.
Yes.
Actually, a couple of things happening, but the Realistic Joneses, there's going to be a reading of Alchemy Theater.
Yep.
In their small little Maestro George space. I know that Sarah Marie Curry is in it.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And the last time I saw the Realistic Joneses was at
Hyde Park. I saw exactly. I saw it there as well, and saw Sarah in Mac and Mabel.
I did see Sarah and Mac and Mabel as well. Over at the Master George. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a reading of the Realistic Joneses a couple of nights, and I'm going to be there too.
Good.
I should mention as well that I don't know if people are doing it. Maybe you are. Are you an outdoor theater goer? Are you going to see Newsies?
I sweat too much for that. I'm so sorry.
I am
but
with
I,
you.
But I would love to see it indoors, but I'm probably going to pass.
So
I'm what they call a heavy sweater.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There was a question about that on a talk show I listened to. Uh-huh. What's his name? I forgot his name. Anyway, Newsies is being done by Zilker out in the park, as they do every year. And I'm with you. I'm kind of a lightweight when it comes to the heat. And every year I say I'm going to go out to the park and see the show. And the last one I actually saw was Sound of Music over 10 years ago, I think.
Oh, I think mine was.
And I didn't last to the second act.
My favorite year, I think, was the last one we saw. And that was a while back.
But I've been hearing good things about it.
Yeah.
And when we talk about Newsies, I just need the opportunity to talk about Crutchy, because I like that character name.
I do too.
Yeah.
Do too,
so it's playing out at the park for all of you to enjoy, and it's only 110 degrees.
All of you people who are not Lisa or I and love the heat.
Yeah. And I just want to remind folks that some of our past guests, or many of our past guests, these shows are still running. I believe it's this last week for most of these. I'll just run through them.
Yes.
Pet Dick, Jarrett Productions, that's an online piece. That'll be available for a while.
Yep.
It's a serious
series. I heard my first episode a few days ago.
I'm going to go. Is it good? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it's fun. It's a great deal of fun, written by Carlo Garcia, and it's just... I'm anxious to see what the next episode brings.
Yeah, they did a bit here and really enjoyed it. Tales of a Blurred Ballerina, Valencia Tolbert's piece is at the Vortex right now. This, I believe, is the last week for Picasso at La Pinaille Agile.
It is.
Last week for Running Bear, speaking of Hyde Park Theater.
Yep.
Also, Sound of Music over at the small theater, Zach. Theater is playing. And way out, if you're very brave and you have a lot of gas in your car, you can go out to Lakeway and see the Full Monty.
Full Monty.
And that's over at TexArts. And I talk about this whenever I talk about TexArts. They were my very first guest on Offstage and on the Air. Nuh-uh.
I don't know who.
No,
Tell
I
me.
Said they were.
Oh, they were. Oh, I thought you were giving me a name of a person.
No, they were. TexArts, they did Golf the Musical.
Oh, my gosh.
With my friend who it turns out that I had worked. Oh, my God, I just lost his name. But anyway, he was in town. He was brought in to do the show. He's since passed away.
That's too bad.
But they were my very first guest.
Doing some fun stuff, too.
Yeah, and they're doing the Full Monty. And this is written by Terrence McNally with music by David Yazbek.
I saw that at Arts on Real, which was when that was still
the Full Monty.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right up their alley. I missed the Arts on Real.
That was a while back.
Yep. Anyway, so that is happening July 15th through August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take another little break. We'll listen to a little bit of the Full Monty. This is Andre DeShields singing Big Black Man. We'll be right back.
When I was just a little nipper, daddy told me, son,
we are back. You are still listening to Offstage and on the Air. This is our last final minute or so. We have John Hoffner here in the studio, and he's coming up with the next show. Oh, my God, John. The Austin Community Radio Hour. What have you got going today?
Well, we're continuing on from last week. This is episode 2 of our mini series on, and I like you like to call it EVs, electric vehicles. Last week we talked about what's going on in Austin. This week we're talking about what's going on in Texas. So there you go.
Awesome.
Great show.
Everything Thank EVs you. With John Hoffner and Austin Common Radio Hour. Karen Jambone, I had so much fun with
me
you today.
Me too. Thank you for letting me play with you.
I'm so happy. You are welcome back anytime. You know, you got to watch out because Nicole Shiro's got, you know, she's in trouble. Got people like you.
No. Nicole Shiro is the best. I adore her.
You had a lot of fun. Do you have anything happening that you want to tell folks about right now?
Not really. I'm taking it easy right now. Enjoying the heat. No, not really. I'm doing a reading of a play written by Rita Anderson, and we're just doing a reading in September. There'll be more about that later, but otherwise, just kind of enjoying life. Every summer we have a group of friends who come from New York to spend at least a week with us, and they're coming on July 27th.
Oh, great. That's right around the corner.
Uh-huh. So that's a lot of hanging around, eating and drinking, and of course we don't drink adult beverages.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Of course not.
We inhale them.
the only way to do it. Uh-huh. Well, that is great. Yeah. Well, I loved having you on the show. You can come back anytime. Nicole, I did not say at the top of the show, Nicole is not feeling very well today and was not able to come on. So we wish her the best of health and to come back all bright and cheery next week. So we're going to go away. You know, I always look for new stuff. This is a show that I'm surprised I did not ever hear about. Broadway Bounty Hunter. Have you heard of this?
I just heard the title. I know nothing about it.
It's a Joe Iconis piece who did the cheerleader thing. It seems pretty amazing. It's about a woman of a certain age, I believe, getting back onto the... Oh, no. She becomes a bounty hunter, and she's a she's a Broadway hoofer. So this is a show called Woman of a Certain Age. Once again, Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will see you all next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.